again, everyone, and welcome to the Dallas Soccer Show. I'm Dustin Nation. Unfortunately, Tristan Vick couldn't be with me tonight, but however sad that made me, it didn't stop me from having an amazing conversation with a member of the writing staff of BigDSoccer.com. He was mentioned as a go-to source by last week's guest Kevin Minkus from American Soccer Analysis, and is a fantastic follow on Twitter for his thoughts about FC Dallas. Of course, I'm talking about Jason Poon. In our conversation, we talked about FC Dallas, Save the Crew / MLS to ATX, and had a little fun doing a way too early prediction segment. I don't want to make you wait anymore for this. It's a fun conversation. At least it was fun for me. I hope you'll find it as fun as I did. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Jason. You're listening to the Dallas Soccer Show with Dustin Nation and Tristan Vick. Hi, Jason. Welcome to the show. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Dustin.
You're most welcome. So I don't know if you've been following Twitter. Right as we were about to start recording, it looks like a fee of about $2 million, give or take, looks to have been agreed upon for Harold Mascara from Colombia. Do you think that that's going to happen? And if so, what do you think that Harold is going to bring to the team?
Yeah, it looks like it is going to indeed happen. The staff at Big D Soccer have been following this story for the past couple of weeks, and we've been hearing bits and pieces here and there that, okay, this is going to happen, even though, you know, their coaches have been denying it. And we're like, well, we've seen this before with Fabian Castillo. It's like, yeah, there's been denial. But, you know, based on the reports that's coming out to it, they've had their assistant coach or their coach tonight, basically at a press conference, said that he's been sold and he's leaving. Pretty sure that's going to happen. We'll just have to wait for the next couple of days and see where he lands. But it definitely looks like it's appears to be happening.
Looks like he may be here before we actually get this episode edited and published. So,
yeah, that'd be fun. It'd be nice to add another attacking piece. As far as it looks like, hard to tell. I've only seen his highlight clips, and you can't judge anything based on that, but based on some scouting reports and a little bit on the highlight, it looks like he'll bring some, at least some flair to the attack, a little bit of speed. So, and the fans are already going at it on Twitter at the FC Dallas's official Twitter account with a lot of, let's say, energy and vigor.
FC Dallas Twitter is an interesting place.
It is. It brings people together. We'll just put it that way.
That's very diplomatic. So it looks though like he might still have an arm injury that he has sustained in one of his last matches. That makes two of our forwards that have arm injuries. So we'll see if he does come, how soon he's able to actually get involved.
Yeah, well, we'll see what that arm injury actually is.
It could be like Coutinho's back.
Yes, like 50% chance. Like, that's not an arm injury, but we'll see.
It's an injury. I have a sling. Do you see my sling? Okay, so you mentioned the staff at Big D Soccer, and you are a writer for Big D. I'm, you know, newish to FC Dallas and the FC Dallas world as of last year. And one of the sites that I frequent is Big D Soccer. And so what I'd like to know is, what is something about Big D that us fans don't know about it that we should know about it?
Well, it's a great place to write. And it's a great place to express yourself. It's a great place to be very creative in your writing. I tend to dabble more on the tactics and the stats. I tend to be more analytical, but we have other writers who tend to be more creative and like to write just more fascinating pieces. Some of them are satire pieces, and it's a great place to do those things. But one thing that's been really proud about this site has been the, we put, in the last 5 years, I believe 5 interns to FC Dallas, like working at the front, for the front office. I've had a great track record of like, hey, you come right for us. We have a way to get you, hopefully, not every year, but we've been able to send some of our writers to intern with the club. And I think that's a pretty cool opportunity.
And also, you know, our founder, Daniel Robertson, he's the one who started the site. He went on to land, you know, a full-time gig running the media for FCD. And then, you know, he moved to Seattle for a few months. And then out of nowhere, well, at least nowhere for a lot of us, he suddenly told everyone that, hey, I'm going to Juventus to run their media. I'm like, wow. So.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's a pretty big step up.
It is. So it's like, well, come put in
it's
your
a launching
work.
Pad. That big D soccer
can very well be. You come do your work and, you know, doors open.
Nice. So is the staff a paid staff? Are you guys all volunteers? How's all that work?
So we're all volunteers. We do this and we're fans. We do this out of the, you know, love of our hearts and also just to be, you know, kind of like everyone else, all the other fans. Like, we want to be expressive in our fandom. We love FC Dallas and we like, you know, talking about it. Some of us prefer to write about it. You know, some people prefer to, you know, go to the games and cheer and shout. Some people like to just attend matches and sit. And that's totally cool. But this is just one of our creative outlets. But yeah, we're all volunteers and we should do it just because it's a lot of fun for us.
Who, as a fan who hungers for reading more and more about it and staying informed, let me extend my thank you to all of you guys. If you're all listening, thank you. I don't know. I think just my mom and Tristan's mom listened, but
I think the staff will listen to this one. I'll make them.
Oh, nice. Thanks for listening, guys. So you are based in Austin, right?
I am.
So how's that work? Covering FC Dallas, do you mostly just watch on FCDallas.com and then, or MLA on TV and then, you know, come up a couple times, or how often do you get to come up and how does being a remote fan work?
Yeah. So I primarily cover the team from my couch. I'll just, you know, I subscribe to MLS Live and I just watch from the comfort of my home. Generally, I try to get up to the games at least once a year, usually one to two times. Sometimes it gets up to four or five times, depending on my travel schedule and how things line up. But oddly enough, you're more likely to find me at a road game with FC Dallas because of how much I travel. And sometimes the travel just aligns really well. Like, I've actually seen Dallas on the road more, actually the same amount of times I've seen them at home at Toyota Stadium. So
that's pretty fun.
It is a lot of fun. It gets a little dangerous sometimes, but it's a lot of fun.
You show up in your nondescript clothing and
yeah,
stay away from the other opposing fans.
Oh, I will tell you, groups. I accidentally sat in the Real Salt Lake supporters section without knowing quite. So I'm very well aware, you know, they're positioned behind the goal. I was not aware that they had another section somewhere else. So bought tickets off like SeatGeek. So, you know, a fan was selling it. So I showed up and I was like, oh no.
Hello.
And the people around me were really cool. I apologize. Like, look, no, this is not cool. I just bought these tickets, did not realize it. Like, oh, that's totally fine. But at halftime, I was with my wife. We're like, you know what? Because we were very mellow. We didn't want to cause a scene, so we were very quiet. Sure. But we're like, you know what? This isn't that fun. We feel kind of weird, even though the people around us were really cool. So we moved, but still, we just one of those unusual experiences.
That is unusual. So, getting back a little bit to Big D Soccer itself, like in your role there, I've read a lot of your pieces and I'm just curious, is there any one of them that you would point to as your like poster child work, your most proud article that you've written?
Okay, so my prominent feature would be the scratching the chalkboard. That comes usually a day or two after a game. So I break down some tactical analysis of how the game unfolded. Usually it's not a game recap of sorts, but maybe something else that I've noticed, what I was able to see from watching and also from looking at the stats. But oddly enough, the piece that I'm most proud of was a collaboration that I did with one of our staff, Mohammed, and we did a Mighty Ducks 2 spoof that we compared the FCD team to the Mighty Ducks 2 team. But I just thought that was one of our best works in terms of just like writing and creativity, and you know we showed how the FC Dallas counterattack mirrors, you know, the flying V formation. So there's accompanying GIF of that too. So I don't know. That was my most proud piece.
I actually haven't read that one. I'm super interested in it though, because I played hockey.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I went into retirement from hockey in order to start this podcast, just because there was a time conflict. And all my gamer tags are Mighty Ducks related. So I'm going to have to find that one.
Okay. In fact,
I'll find it and I'll link it on our website and on our Twitter.
Sounds good. I hope we do you a solid since you're a hockey expert.
So we had on our last episode, we had Kevin Mikas from American Soccer Analytics on. Mm-hmm. And he, when we asked him, you know, what are some of the sources that you use or some sources fans can go to kind of learn more about analytics and stats, he actually mentioned you. And so I was wondering, what are some of the things that you use whenever you sit down to write and whenever you're trying to get inspiration or look at the game in a different way from just, you know, the regular old box score?
Yeah. So, yeah, well, Kevin was awfully kind to throw my name in there, but it's kind of a goes full circle. Like the guys at American Soccer Analysis kind of actually gave me my first break. I was interested in soccer and soccer analytics and stats, and they were looking for people to help. And I said, look, I don't really know anything, but I'm willing to do some work if you guys will willing to have me and teach me. So, so I helped them at the beginning when they were launching the site, and I've just watched them and what they see, what they look at. And I felt like that was a great place. So those guys were, so it was like Kevin Minkus, Drew Olson, Harrison Crow. You can find those guys on Twitter. Those are some excellent sources of information and stats and materials. But when I write, because my timetable is I'm trying to get the piece out by the next day, I just have to rely on what I see from what I saw from the game. Mm-hmm. And then I just go to MLSsoccer.com and go to their box score. And, you know, they MLS has a partnership with Opta. So they have those chalkboards. And I just go, okay, I remember bits and pieces of the game, and I look at the chalkboard to see if it verify what I saw. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. If it doesn't, then I'm going, okay, then I just need to dig a little bit deeper. So, but
sure, what's going on here?
Yeah. So usually that's when I have to write. Now afterwards, I look at who scored. I look at different writers at MLSsoccer.com, like Matthew Doyle, and say, okay, did he see anything? Then I usually just go back to my own staff, my own team, and say, hey, what did you guys see? Or because during the game, we're on our Slack channel, and we're just going back and forth. So someone will mention a player doing something, and I go, okay, let me take a look and see what they did on the chalkboard. And sometimes there's something there for me to inspire me to write something.
Very nice. Well, that's about all I got for questions about Big D Soccer. Anything else you want to add about your work there or anything?
Oh, just the random things that we've done in the last year was we had a weekly argument about the best fried chicken. I'm seeing like really heated debates where we've thought about like firing some of these people. Like that is completely false. So we're passionate about FCD, but we're also very passionate about fried chicken apparently. So
that reminds me of one of my coworkers and I. We actually had a bracket for the best queso in Dallas, and we would pair off quesos and go down, and we finally end up having a winner.
Oh,
I don't even remember who it was. It was a long time ago, but
I was like, you need to publish that.
You know, that sounds like an excellent blog post.
It does.
The Dallas Soccer Show, your source of FC Dallas banter and U.S. men's national team news and coverage. All right, so let's switch gears a little bit and let's talk about FC Dallas. We are an FC Dallas podcast. We are all fans. So, busy offseason. I think we had 10 roster spots to fill, or somewhere in there, maybe more, maybe less. I don't remember the exact number. So we're getting pretty close to getting that full roster back. What moves do you think made us stronger? Where do you think we still might have some question marks? Like what do you think about the roster rebuild over the offseason?
Yeah, it was definitely a very interesting one to watch. I mean, it always is. The last, last 5 years, it always seems like, dude, we don't have like half our roster is blown up. And that's usually the case. Some players do make it back. Some don't. But where I felt like the team got stronger was getting a little more speed. Getting, you know, Otto Hene from the draft looks to be, you know, he looks like he's got some wheels.
Is he the one that broke his arm in like the first 20 minutes?
Yes. So that's a little sad. Although, like, yeah, well, depending on your, you know, what the doctor says, you know, at least you can still, you know, get on a bike, hopefully, do some running since
arms aren't completely necessary for soccer.
Exactly. It's like someone else can do the throwing, but yeah, you know, he's. But I thought that was an element that was lacking in the Dallas attack, especially when, you know, we didn't have Mauro Diaz for a big stretch of 2017, and the team needed to go to the 4-4-2 and, you know, do a lot of counterattack. And Ron Lama, you know, good player, but doesn't have that speed that, you know, that Fabian Castillo had. And so the team was very lopsided and very reliant on the right flank with Michael Barrios, which is, you know, Not a bad option, but it does become very one dimensional in the attacks. Like, okay, they're going to lob the ball over to Barrios, and Barrios is going to run. You know, he's going to do a straight line run. Like, well, at some point, you know, these guys are professionals and teams, and, you know, coaches and the players can opposing defenses can figure that out and stop the attacks. So, getting a little more speed on the wings, I feel like that may balance the attack a little bit more. So I think
give him a foil over on the other side, so he doesn't have to keep switching back and forth.
Exactly. So I think that will be a good, good option there. As far as question marks go, I'm still kind of curious about the age of this group. Like right after, not too long after the draft, I did an average age of the players on this team, and it came out to 23.3, which is by far the youngest average age of any MLS team at the time. So
hey, play the kids
is a great motto, but not for the sake of just playing them, especially given that, okay, a lot of these kids are extremely, extremely young. I mean, I'm talking like, you know, Paxton Pomykal, Brian Reynolds. You know, Brian Reynolds is 16. So yeah, there are a lot of very young players when lacking experience and minutes. So there could be a trouble. Like, hey, can they weather? Is there enough experience on this team to weather a long and difficult season?
Yeah, if our depth is going to be the kids, they are by definition a giant question mark because we just haven't seen them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Some of the core attackers are still here that we had from last season. Rudy stayed. We'll get to him a little bit here in a second. We've still got Coman, Barrios, Diaz, Lamar. So that core group there, I guess, even Kellen and Carlos are still here. So that core group here is still here, even though they said that, hey, this time has passed, right? But they're still here. They were the team that was on the field during the slump of 2017. Do we have a nickname for that, by the way? Somebody have a nickname for that?
I'm not even going to go there. That's too painful.
Yeah, let's not think about it. Anyway, so what do we have any confidence that they're going to be able to turn it around and not just continue their form that they ended the season in?
Yeah, so this is both comforting and also horrifying to say, but this being MLS, really any team could do anything at any season. And we can just look at Colorado, who went from one of the worst teams to challenging for the Supporters Shield to one of the worst teams again in a span of 3 years. Now, of course, there were some, you know, player changes, coaching changes, so there were some moving parts, but that drastic of a swing is pretty common. Look at Houston. They went from basically worst team in 2016 to, you know, a very good team in 2017. You could look at Chicago as well, who did the same thing. Mm-hmm. So just looking at the history of the teams in this league, just because a team was bad 1 year or ended poorly 1 year doesn't mean it's just going to continue and vice versa. Just because you were good 1 year and it's not going to mean you're going to be good the next year. So that's kind of a weird dynamic there, something just odd about this league. But in terms of get a little more practical about it. It's like all signs point to that Mauro Diaz is healthy again. Now he's getting very close to being as healthy as he can be coming off that Achilles injury. And you know, 2016 Mauro Diaz was really the driver of bringing two trophies to this club. And if he hadn't got injured against Seattle in October, it was seemed pretty likely that this team could have contended for the MLS Cup as well. So Diaz is back. He's having a full preseason under his belt. It looks like Oscar Pereira is very confident in him. You know, mm-hmm. At least in the press releases, he's been very sick. Mauro Diaz is looking better and better and more confident. So if he can be 80%, 85% of that 2016 form that he had, I think this team could be, I think fans can rest assured that, you know, that 2017 slump will continue.
Yeah. Watching the game against Chattanooga, it looked like he's got that acceleration back. He just got the ball and was able to put his back up to the defender and then just like turn and go and just leave the guy in the dust. He did that two or three times. So that was encouraging for sure.
Yeah, I missed that game for my daughter's birthday party. So I'm just going to have to trust you on that one.
Yeah, I missed the second half because I went out to eat with my family too. So the first half.
Family first.
That's right. So let's keep talking about Mauro Diaz here, right? So we tend to play that 4-2-3-1, right? Where we've got Diaz in the number 10 spot right there in the middle, right? So let's just say Mauro gets hurt again. Do we have the depth to keep on keeping on with if he gets hurt? Or is that going to require a formation change, you think? You think we'll switch back into the 4-4-2 or... What do you think that Oscar's got up his sleeves if Mauro gets hurt?
Yeah, I think what we're looking at is I think we'll have to find out whether Paxton Pomykal is up for it. All signs point, he did an interview, Paxton did, and just said basically his plan is to primary play the number 10 role and back up Mauro Diaz. But I'm also wondering how hesitant the team will be because, against Chattanooga, Paxton actually played on the left side. And I think they were looking to see how he would do there just as a variety. It's like, hey, can he play multiple positions and how does the team look when he does play on the left or on the right? But I mean, the last time this club handed, the number 10 role to a homegrown player and backup to, when Mauro Diaz got hurt was in 2014 to Danny Garcia, and that did not go well. Like Garcia had a few flashes of brilliance, but then that sparked that summer downhill turn, that summer slump that this club is really known for. But I would venture to say it really depends on when, if Mauro Diaz gets hurt, kind of depends on when the season. Like if it's early, I don't think Oscar will put Pomykal in such a position to like, hey, you're the team's number 10 now. But maybe later in the season, I think we might see that actually happen. But overall, I do think the team is ready in case Mauro Diaz does get hurt or is out for an extended period of time. I think they're more prepared this time around than they were before.
Well, that gives me a little comfort. Earlier we mentioned Maxi Arruti as far as playmakers that stuck around. He stuck around despite a lot of links for him to go back to Argentina last year. Are you surprised that he stayed? I think a lot of people were surprised. How about you?
I'm very surprised. I was betting that he'd be gone because it sounded like he was ready to go and he was not happy with the way that transfer saga went down. And what we've seen is, when players are wanting to go, it's better off just to go ahead and let them go and, recruit, just get as much as you can for the player, whether it's a transfer or draft picks or allocation money, whatever you can get, will be better off for the team. And there's some suspicion that that loan transfer deal back in the last summer was kind of the reason or the root cause of the slump, because after that, Maxi Arruti only returned one goal the second half of the season. He started off in the first half with 11 goals and was like, all right, here's our 15 goal score. And he came back with only one. And I'm kind of wondering, okay, what exactly happened here? You know, his shooting was a little bit lower comparing the stats. He wasn't shooting it nearly as much, but I'm kind of wondering, hey, was this a locker room situation? Like, was he just like, hey, I don't want to be here. I wanted to go. You know, the club said no. So I wonder if that kind of affected the morale a little bit. When the transfer window opened again this winter, I thought for sure that he would be gone. But yeah, I'm a little surprised he's still here.
Harrison Crow had a nice thread on Twitter about basically the effect of keeping players around after they've basically said that they don't want to be there, and like how their playmaking goes off if they're kept around. So take note, New England Revolution.
That's right. Send us Lee Wynn, please.
So we kept a Rudy, but we let a couple of the other players that have been around for a long time go, like Chris Seitz. Tristan actually he was a big fan of Chris Seitz and just kind of the presence that he brought to the team. Do you think that it was a mistake for FC Dallas to let Chris Seitz go, and how painful is it to you to see him go to Houston?
So as a locker room guy, as a person, yeah, I hate that Chris Seitz was let go and he went to Houston. Just because, he was my first player interview. I got to go to the interview. I was in LA when they won the Supporter Shield. And I got to go to the locker room, and he was my first player interview. And I was a nervous wreck, and I didn't know what to say. This was my first time doing it, and without my managing editor, so I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. And I sensed that he could tell my nervousness, so he kind of threw me a bone and just started talking to me. And I was like, okay, thank you, but didn't berate me for like, hey, I'm wasting his time, or like, hey, I got to catch a bus and go back to Dallas. So and of course, his bone marrow transplant story. So, overall, just a great human. So losing, not having him be part of the club or be a part of the community of Dallas, yeah, that stinks. But as far as, play goes, I guess it kind of depends. I think he deserves a chance to start. And it's very clear that Jesse Gonzalez is the starter here. And Chris Seitz was just going to get a few spots here and there.
The token rollouts.
Basically, and play some cup games here and there. But, athletes are extremely competitive and they want that chance. And I think he deserves that chance. Now, as far as him going to Houston, I have mixed feelings about that. For one, I'm going, he deserves a shot. I know he wanted to stay in Texas, so I think that's a wonderful thing. But yeah, it would be a mistake if for some reason Houston makes to the Cup final and he makes three saves in the penalty shootout to give Houston the Cup. Then I'll say yes, Dallas made a mistake. But Seitz was a great guy. Wish him all the best.
That's a super awesome story about the interview there. It's fun for me to kind of listen to some of the behind the scenes about some of the sports journalism that goes on, just because you never, I don't know, as a casual fan, you never really get to hear that kind of stuff. So that's a fun story.
Thanks.
Okay. So all that being said about FC Dallas and the offseason and the players we're bringing in and all that stuff, what are the storylines that you're paying attention or the Big D staff is paying attention to as the season gets underway? What do you kind of have your eye on that you're just kind of waiting and seeing and you really want to see how it plays out?
Yeah, we're still itching to see if there's an FCD2. Like, are we going to get a USL club, or is there going to be a partnership somewhere? But really, our eyes are also just on the first team and who gets out there. Mm-hmm. So we're tracking with like, hey, is this the time for Kellen Acosta to be sold? I know he stated that he wants to go to Europe at some point. And if he can have a very fine form to start the season again, it's like, yeah, sell high when we can, because his value won't be much higher right now.
Yeah, he kind of has to rebuild his stock a little bit, I think, after the end of last year with the sitting out for fatigue and stuff like that. I feel like his overall stock took a little bit of a hit.
Exactly.
So it'll be interesting to see how he rebounds this year. That's a good one right there.
Yeah, then there's always Fabian Castillo. Fernando Carvalho is like, yeah, we'd be open to bringing him back. We're all like, what? So, I mean, we knew how painful that saga played out for the coaching staff, for Fernando in particular. And so we're going, for him to say that, there must have something happened. I think Castillo was back sometime last year. He was in the Dallas area and he stopped by to a training session. So I think they kind of mended the fences and made up there. But just for him to say that, it got everyone's attention for a moment. And, you know, Castillo isn't doing very well in Turkey. And I think he's kind of shopping around, hey, I need some minutes to go somewhere. So Dallas would be an option.
I think that I saw either yesterday or the day before he did go ahead and sign another contract with Trabzonspor.
Oh, he did. How
you pronounce it? I think I saw that roll across the timeline. Eh?
Yeah. Well, there goes that then.
Yeah, I'd have to verify. So don't. I don't know. I read a lot of Twitter, so it's don't take that as gospel.
if it's on Twitter, it is gospel, my friend.
Some guy on some soccer podcast said he read it on some website that has 140 characters, right? 280 characters. we take it to the bank.
That's right. That's how the internet works.
Yeah. The Dallas Soccer Show, your source of FC Dallas banter and U.S. men's national team news and coverage. All right. So let's take a break from talking about the serious business of FC Dallas. And I thought we'd take a little bit of a breather here and we'll do something fun. Jason and I are going to do a way too early prediction segment where we're just kind of going to go down a list of predictions and we're each going to say what our way too early prediction will be. Are you ready, Jason?
Totally ready.
Okay. In the Western Conference, who do you think gets that top spot in the table? And do you think that FC Dallas makes the playoffs?
Oh, I am terrible at predictions. I don't know if you've seen my predictions for like the scores throughout the years, and they are completely wrong always. And
that will make this much more fun.
Yes, it will. So I'm just going to go ahead and say, you know what, San Jose will take the best spot on the Western Conference table, and Dallas does make it into the playoffs at the number four spot.
Nice. All right. So I think Sporting Kansas City will make the top spot.
Great pick.
I think you know they lost their defender. Is it Parra? No. Yes.
Which player?
The guy Maxi Rudy kicked in the face.
Oh, was it on Parra? It might have been.
I think so. Yeah, they lost him over the offseason. And but other than that, they just built on the rest of their team. So I'm looking for them to do well. And I think we sneak into the playoffs. I think that I think it's by the skin of our teeth. I think it comes down to the last day. And this time we get in.
That would be some sweet justice there.
Yes. All right. CONCACAF Champions League. How far does FC Dallas go in the CONCACAF Champions League?
Oh, same as last year. We go to the semifinals, we come close, but then just that was utter disappointment and sadness again.
It's a real optimistic outlook there. Seems to be our lot, the sad FC Dallas fan.
Yes.
I'm going to say semifinals again, but I think that we aren't as good in the semifinals. I don't know why, but that's, there you go. Way too early, totally uninformed predictions.
Exactly.
Who do you think is going to be FC Dallas's top scorer this season?
Christian Coleman.
Boom.
That was my prediction last year. I'm going to do it. I'm going to double down and do it again. Most expensive signing in FCD history. It's sink or swim time. He's going to be it.
I'm right there with you. I am bullish on Christian Coleman. What about MVP? Does he make the MVP for this year or does somebody else get the MVP?
Oh, I'm going to give this one to Matt Hedges. That's a safe pick.
Yeah. You think he has kind of a bounce back year?
I think so. I think he's going to be, you know, a contender for Defender of the Year again. I think he'll be the team MVP.
Yeah. Do you think he was kind of, well, I'm kind of switching back and we're out of the fun mode, but like, do you, Do you think he was kind of pulled down a little bit by Walker Zimmerman last season?
Man, I don't know. I think there's some curse of playing in that Gold Cup. Like after going to that Gold Cup, for some reason, he and Acosta just, I don't know, forgot how to kick a soccer ball or something. Like just something really strange happened to them, and I don't know what to put to it. It's like how does playing, you know, at an international stage suddenly make you forget how to, you know, play soccer? So I think it's just some sort of weird funk. Maybe wearing those hoops jerseys made him angry. It's like, why don't we have hoops on our shirts? So who knows? But I'll go with that.
The point of contention, or I guess you could say the ring of contention, the FC Dallas hoops.
Bring back the hoops. The hoops are beautiful.
So for my MVP pick, this is a tough one, because I think if Diaz stays healthy, it's him.
Yes.
If he doesn't, you know, I'm going to go with Carlos Grezo.
That's a good one. I thought about picking him too.
I think he's super solid and he can bring a super stabilizing presence to the midfield. And I think that if we have that, then it allows everybody else to play their part. And he may be understated, but I think that that's my MVP.
Hey, as a D mid, if you're understated, you're playing the position right.
Exactly. Okay. So we're playing the kids, supposedly.
Yes, hopefully.
Which young player has his stock rise the most this season?
That one's easy. Reggie Cannon. He should have been playing last year a lot more. So now that the position is basically his, we're going to see him bomb down that right flank all game, combined with Michael Barrios. He's going to be an absolute joy to watch.
I totally agree. I think somebody had asked me whether or not I thought Reggie Cannon was ready. I am totally in Team Cannon. Insert all the puns about actual cannons. I'm ready to see him own that position and make it his. Last one. We've got Anton Nedeljkov. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Nedeljkov. Anyways, we saw in the first half of that Chattanooga game where there was one of the Chattanooga players just kind of tugging on him or pulling on him, and he turned around and he gave him a death stare. And people loved it. Will Nedeljkov become a FC Dallas cult hero?
It all depends on one game, the Texas Derby against Houston. Mm. If he kicks the crap out of any Dynamo player for a legitimate reason, like just going for the ball or, you know, protecting Diaz, because I was going to say Ricardo Clark, but he's not there anymore. And I was going to say Torres, but he's not there anymore. Well, whoever's on their team.
The old guy.
DeMarcus Beasley.
Yes.
I think he is. Let's say Beasley.
I couldn't think of that name.
Beasley takes a swipe at Diaz, and Megacop comes over and, stares him down or shoves him, kicks him. Like, yeah, then he gets it.
He's in the Eastern European business.
That's exactly it. So all depends on that, like how he handles himself in the Texas Derby. That's where legends are made.
That is a good shout. I think you're right. You know, I hadn't really thought about that, but that makes total sense. Cult hero Nedeljkov with a stare down of DeMarcus Beasley.
Like it.
You were listening to the Dallas Soccer Show with Dustin Nation and Tristan Vick. Okay, so Jason is from Austin, and we would be remiss to not talk a little bit about the Columbus Crew Austin, Texas situation going on with Precor Sports Group and all the drama going on there with the Austin City Council and all that. You were just on ESPN Soccer Today with Steve Davis.
Yes.
And you kind of talked about this, and you kind of were talking a little bit about where the stadium's going to be, how Austinites really love their parkland. And it's really looking like this stadium situation is kind of becoming a real sticking point for that whole move. Is that going to scupper any impending move, or is that something you think that they might be able to overcome?
At this point, I'm not sure if there's a way to overcome it. I think Anthony Precourt's desires for the stadium to be, in his words, like in the urban core. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a nice idea, but there's really no land or space. Yes, there are parklands, but Austin Knights love the parks. And I think one big mistake that Anthony Precourt's been doing is like he hasn't said anything to the city of Austin. It's like, hey, if you give me the parkland, this is the covenant I'm going to make with you, to the city, to the community. You know, I will, you know, build schools, fund schools, or, you know, build another park somewhere else. Like, we just haven't heard that. And the Austin culture is very, very much anti, well, not anti big corporation, but, you know, we love everything local. And this not being a local team, like, hey, what are you going to do to make it happen? So when he's going after these places that are beloved by the community, you know, he needs to come and make some kind of offering.
Sure. Yeah. If we scratch your back, what are you going to do to scratch ours?
Basically that. So there's...
That's politics, right?
Yeah. There are spaces, there are options, but, you know, not inside that urban core that he's really looking for. So it's possible something will happen, but at this current state, it's not looking very promising.
Gotcha. So as an FCD fan, we can kind of look at that situation. We look at how Columbus's attendance is really low and ours is even lower. And that kind of being one of the impetuses, one of the reasons for the move. And is that something like, as an FC Dallas fan, why should I really care about this Save the Crew and MLS to Austin?
Yeah, so it kind of really depends on where you fall on the spectrum. So there's part of the romance of it. You know, the Columbus Crew were one of the founding members of MLS. You know, Dos Acero for, you know, the men's national team. You know, that's been the Columbus Crew play has been the home ground to that iconic match against the Mexican national team. And so, like, losing a founding member in this way just seems, you know, just really poor for someone to go, hey, build me a stadium while I'm moving. Like this sounds kind of gross. So on the romantic side, you know, you don't ever want to see that happen. You know? And, you know, even though I live in Austin and I could be on the receiving end of an MLS team, which would be on one hand great. I've also been on the receiving end of the other side because there was a soccer team here, formerly known as the Austin Aztecs, and then they, well, completely out of nowhere moved to Orlando. And so I'm very sympathetic to people of Columbus because I've been there. It's a great city, great people, fantastic food, very very underrated city in this country. So I don't want them to go through what we did. And I mean, Dallas fans can feel very safe about their situation. You know, the Hunts are not moving the team. They just, and if there's any indication of that, like, they just built the Hall of Fame, Soccer's Hall of Fame, you know, attached next to the stand. Like, you're not going to move that. And, you know, they've been very committed to Dallas, to say Frisco, and establishing that there. So as far as kind of, you know, reason why you should care, it kind of just depends on where you fall on the spectrum. Like, wait, do you, are you romantic? If you are, then yeah, this is not really great. But yeah, as far as the likelihood of it happening to an FCD fan is pretty low. But one selfish positive thing about this is, well, if there is a team in Austin one way or another, you know, that's another place you guys can go for games within very close, within, you know, driving distance. And
real quick road trip for a lot of fans can go represent. That'd be nice.
It would be. And then instead of doing this, I know everyone hates, you know, the Cascadia, Seattle, Portland, and Vancouver, and the Cascadia Cup and the pretentiousness there. It's like, well, if we had something here.
The I-35 Traffic Jam Cup.
That's two. That's too true and too depressing.
It hurts too much. Call it the Hillsborough Cup.
Exactly.
So I want to get your quick hot take. I know you're from Austin. There's a lot of people saying that San Antonio would be a better fit for a third MLS team in Texas. What would Austin offer that San Antonio wouldn't? Sell me on why Austin's a better place.
I actually can't do that. Now there are wonderful things about Austin and there are wonderful things about San Antonio. But I want this to be a fair thing or situation. You know, San Antonio has a team. They've had a team. They've had owners banking from the Spurs organization. They have a stadium. It's a wonderful stadium. Been there a few times. So I can see why San Antonio, those San Antonio fans are upset that this may happen and basically ruined their chances of it because they've done everything that they were supposed to, that the league told them to, and then suddenly it seems like someone cut in line. They're both wonderful cities, and I think they'll both bring something very unique and something very fun to the to MLS. But I can see why, you know, Austin is very attractive to the league and the front offices in general, just because, you know, Austin's a very thriving city. It's a cool hipster city. Everyone wants to come here. The tacos here are great. Not that the tacos in San Antonio are bad.
Just do not open a barbecue place near downtown or you will get shut down.
Yes. So there's just wonderful things about both cities. And you know, I can see why, you know, MLS wants a team here. But given the culture of Austin, I just don't know. Like, hey, but you know, San Antonio, go ahead. You've earned it.
That's very diplomatic of you, Jason.
I don't want to make any enemies on a podcast. I'd rather do that in person.
There you go. All right. Well, that's about our time with Jason. You can catch him on Twitter. You are at Jason H. Poon.
Yes, sir.
And I love following Jason. He always tweets out really interesting FC Dallas content. So follow him on Twitter. And is there any other place that you want people to on the Instagrams or anything?
No, my Instagram's boring. I still don't know how to use that. don't follow me there. It's just me taking pictures of beer. So if that's your thing, beer and coffee.
That, you know, there's a significant portion of the FC Dallas demographic that love beer.
That is true. Yeah, but no, follow the Big D Soccer account. That one drives most of the content, and we're also on Instagram too, and we're trying to build that up. So those two would be good places to keep up on your FCD content.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Jason. And when you come up to watch an FC Dallas game, give us a shout. We'll buy you a beer or something.
Awesome. Thanks, Dustin. Thanks for having me.